This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What in the hell is happening? Back-to-back, going up against the Knicks. And whoever you were who texted in or was on YouTube or whatever, yeah, but they didn't have Towns. Oh, my God.
Okay. And the Bucks didn't have Giannis.
Sure.
Fair.
Carl Anthony Towns is not even their best player.
Dallas didn't have Anthony Davis or Luka. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They had Kyrie.
Well, the Warriors didn't have Kuminga. So how about that?
Yeah.
I mean, no, but really.
Right.
Don't diminish what is clearly difficult. Look around the league. They're not playing anybody. Yeah, they are. They're on the road. Nobody else is doing this. I mean, there's a few other teams doing this, and they're all getting the praise, too. The Lakers are doing this. They've moved into the 2 seed, and people are legitimately scared of that team.
As you should
be. And
they
should be.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, man. There is no way, no how that what we're looking at is actually happening. You cannot convince me that it was that easy for Jimmy Butler to walk in and just be like, click, and suddenly everything's working. In fact, you know what the real big thing is? Because to me, this is the characteristic of all great athletes and teams, which is that they win even when they're not at their best. Because nobody's at their best every single night. They win when they're not at their best. And we've seen that. The Warriors have not been completely that consistent. They've not been at their best every single night. But only a couple of times in the last 3 weeks has that led to them losing a basketball game. That's what you should be most excited about.
Yeah, Philly was a case where Quentin Grimes went off, and he was unguardable, and they, as a team, shot damn near 60%. And so, yeah, a little bit of a
tip. Jimmy didn't play.
You tip the cap, because Philly was amazing, and you lost to Dallas because Kyrie was unguardable. But you mentioned it, like the Orlando game, where you didn't get a lot from the others. Quentin Post was 7 of 9 with 18 points, but Steph was otherworldly with 56. And if Steph doesn't go for 56, you probably lose that game. You had two against Charlotte, which, okay, fine. Charlotte's one of the worst, if not the worst. Turns out Washington's beaten Charlotte 3 times this year or 4 times. So among Washington's wins, the majority of them are against Charlotte. So, yeah, they're terrible. That's 2 of your wins. But I think about last night where New York, yes, without Carl Anthony Towns, I get it, but they're at home. You're in the middle of a long road trip, and New York heads down by double digits, yet you just pulled up your socks and you got after it in the third quarter and you flipped that game.
Crazy, crazy. All right, let's hear from y'all, okay? 888-957-9570, Gary in Concord. Hi, Gary. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
I think it's all about perspective, right? I remember when the Warriors were horrible, the 20-win seasons and stuff. And, you know, I try to explain to my son, who's 21 now, that what he's seeing, what he's experienced is so outside the realm of norm that he can't grasp how unreal this has been, the last decade of watching Steph, not just Steph as the player, but Steph as the human being, and furthermore, Steve Kerr as the human being, and what that's meant to the organization, what it's meant to the Bay Area. We are experiencing something that is so incredible that I don't know that we understand it, because it's like being with someone that you've been with for so long, you over time, it's natural to get anesthetized to their experience, or, you know, living with them and experiencing who they are. We get spoiled. We are so incredibly spoiled that I don't think we will actually truly understand this until we no longer have him around, you know, to enjoy. In the way the world is today, this is such an incredible break for all of us that I am so incredibly humbled by the experience that I've been able to witness for the last decade plus. Having Jimmy Butler just made, I'm blown away by how well they've done the last, you know, couple weeks. Cumulative IQ has just gone up off the charts. And there's something special. After watching last night's game, I reached out to a few of my buddies that I haven't talked with in quite a while, and I just said, "There's something's going on. This is different. They've got mojo. They really do." And I'm excited, and hopefully this will end like Draymond thought. One last thing: if somebody did not see the Iguodala speech, they need to watch or listen to the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's pretty powerful, pretty interesting stuff. And what he said about Steph was dead on, that Steph may know himself, but I don't think he really knows himself also.
Gary, thank you. Yeah, great. No, great call. Thank you for making that call. We really appreciate having you on. I like when he talks about sort of not comprehending the depth of what we might be experiencing with Steph Curry, I'd respond with this. I don't think it's possible to. I don't think that you can fully grasp things like that when you're experiencing them in the moment. It's just, it's too
like for
much.
For us or for him or for them?
Probably all of it, but I don't want to speak for him and the experience he's having, because he is him. Like, he's the one.
Right.
He's doing it. And so that's a completely different thing. I just mean the gravity of an athlete and his place in history and what it all means in terms of context. I don't think you can know those things fully until they move on and you can have the feeling of missing them or not seeing it anymore. And sometimes you need that. You know, that's that old saying, if you don't know what you got till it's gone.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to really know what Warrior basketball without Steph Curry, what that is like until we experience it. And my guess is that there's even more gravity to this than we realize.
Right. And I do think that you can have that awareness and you can have a great appreciation because you don't know what's going to happen. And I think about Giants baseball when we got to the post Bonds era, where Barry Bonds was a show and you stopped what you were doing every time he was up, and you can put it into the context of what he allegedly put into his body and whether or not you thought that that was real or fair or whatever. You can look at it that way. I looked at it as the greatest home run hitter of all time about to get an at bat, and it was exciting and you watched it. And then when he retired, you didn't know what was going to come, and what eventually came sooner rather than later was a dynasty.
Yep.
Three titles in
right.
5 years.
Right.
So I'm not saying that you're going to get this out of the Steph Curry, but in the moment I was appreciative of Barry Bonds, and I thought that he could have played another year or two. He thought so too. And when it ended, you did have that emptiness of, man, I'm going to miss watching that. And with Steph Curry, whatever happens this year, playoff run, no playoff run, whatever, watching him play basketball and watching him be a part of this team is something very special. And he's about to be 37. And so we don't get to have this for forever. We might get 2 more, 3 more, 4 more. Could we get 5 more years of Steph Curry?
Oh, God.
I mean, you never know nowadays.
No, you don't know. That feels like a lot. But I guess that's kind of, we got on this conversation because that's sort of my number one reaction today, is there's a thankfulness and an excitement to the mere idea that after spending a year and a half, honestly, now go to your Warrior dark space. We spent a year and a half wondering if there was ever going to be another relevant game again. You really did. If you're honest with yourself, you did. We've spent a year and a half wondering if there was ever going to be another relevant game, and we made games relevant that were irrelevant. Oh, there's a play-in game in Sacramento. You lost by 100 points, and Clay staring at the sky, and that was simply to get to another play-in game. It's an irrelevant basketball game.
Only because they lost.
No, because even if they win, they might lose.
It was an elimination game.
Yeah, but
all that you guys have been telling me is the play-in tournament. It's a big deal.
No, it's fun, but it's not relevant in terms of what Steph Curry's talking about. They're talking about actual playoff relevance. A one game in a play-in tournament is irrelevant. That's not a big game in the great landscape of the NBA. And this year, they started out really nice, and then they fall to 500. And truly, I think very, even optimistic-minded people looked at this and went, come on, man. They're too old. It's over. We're not doing this anymore. And now, today, it really looks like they're going to do that. I don't know what they're going to win, but those are going to be some, it looks like we're headed toward and experiencing some really relevant basketball at an age where we didn't know if we'd get that again. And the Jimmy Butler trade is the number one thing on the list to be thankful for that this is happening.
Yeah, and if you think about relevant, meaningful basketball and you want to skip ahead 20 games, and I know you don't, but when you think about what a playoff series might be, if you're the 5 seed and it's Memphis, sign me up for that because that's always a rivalry that is deep-seated. If you're the 6 and it's Denver, of course you want that. If you happen to be the 7 and you take on the Lakers, well, that's monster as well. And if you get through a round and you get OKC or the Lakers, I mean, no matter who you face in the Western Conference, there's intrigue, there's relevance, to use your word, there's rivalry, there's a lot of heat. So if the Warriors could just get to that, and that's what you were talking about all year, the Warriors just want to get Steph Curry a chance, get him an at-bat, get him a bite of the apple. Well, it's looking like they're going apple shopping, and how do you like them apples? Because they're going to be eating some apples here in April.
And as much as these are the two matchups that I hear a lot of Warrior fans say that they don't want, I think this also creates a real fascination with the race between Denver and the Lakers for that 2 seed. Because think about what they're looking at. If I'm Denver and the Lakers, as much as, again, Warrior fans are afraid of that matchup, if I'm Denver and the Lakers, do I want the Warriors? Or do I want that 2 seed so that I can play the first team to come out of the play-in tournament, which is going to be some sort of concoction of Clippers or Kings or whatever?
Yeah, Minnesota.
Now Minnesota's an interesting squad.
Yep.
It may well end up being Houston, for crying out loud.
Yeah, maybe.
Minnesota and the Warriors both have the 2 easiest schedules. They're all healthy as well. And so I don't know. But if I'm Denver and the Lakers, I want no Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler. I do not want that showing up in the first round if I've got a chance to play Shingun or
don't hate on the goon.
Honestly, if I've got a chance to do that or take on DeMar DeRozan, let me avoid the Warriors, please.
Of course, LaVine and DeRozan or Steph and Jimmy, it's not even close. And that's where, and I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but late in the year there might be some intrigue. There might be some lightweight shenanigans with teams trying to position themselves accordingly to get the matchup that's most favorable.
Do we take requests on this show?
Probably.
Okay, we got a request. 408. Mark, I haven't heard you in a while, but I'd like to hear you say you were wrong about the Butler trade. I was wrong about the Butler trade.
And you've already admitted to that.
I know, but he hadn't heard this in a while.
I know.
So 408, now you have to call and say, my bad for not listening to the show enough.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay?
Yeah.
If we're all going to be here admitting our mistakes, let's do it together.
Right.
I was wrong. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and to your point of the show today, did any of you think that it would be this good? My only concern was Grumpy Jimmy without an extension doesn't want to play here and ends up opting in and now you're screwed. Well, he got traded, he got a new deal, and he's been happy Jimmy, but did I think that they'd come out and be 10-1 in games he played? Come on, bro.
No, the thing
that I've admitted that I was wrong about was the notion that Steph can't do it every night anymore, and well, Steph is now averaging almost 30 a game since Jimmy has come, so it turns out Steph actually can still do it every night. He just needs somebody to take the weight off his shoulders.
No doubt. I think we've learned this a lot, and this is one of the reasons, because I'm not going to say don't say people are washed, because sometimes they are. It happens to every single player. But one thing that I'll never use these microphones to say is to tell someone that they should retire. If somebody's offering them a job, I wouldn't. I would take the job and keep on playing. And that's kind of my spin on this idea of when we sort of flick people off, like, okay, they're done now. How many times do you do that? And then all of a sudden, something changes in the water. There's a new ingredient in the stew, and you're like, oh, they're not done anymore. I remember having that feeling about, like, this is random, but Curtis Martin, you're like, oh, dude, you're a running back, and you turn 30. So, yeah, you kind of had a bad year. You're done. And then he, like, went to the Jets or something changed, and he was awesome. He was awesome. Look, we did it in this town to Brady. I was right there, king of the keep Garoppolo. Why would we trade?
Oh, yeah.
Why would we trade Jimmy Garoppolo for Tom Brady?
Yeah, that one came back on you.
Garoppolo was fresh off of a Super Bowl appearance, and Brady looked like he was washed. How we doing with that take?
Oh boy, yeah.
So, like, for everybody in the Steph looks like he's really declining camp. 888-957-9570. No, he doesn't.
Well, not anymore.
No, he doesn't.
Not anymore.
They're not declining.
Now that he's
at
got
all.
Jimmy, he's 56 in Orlando.
Steiny, get off vacation.
We need you.
He ain't declining.
Yeah.
At all. He's ascending at age 36.
He's now just 18 threes away from 4,000. And I heard Del Curry on with Tim Roy press table before the Charlotte game, and Dell was talking about it. He's like, yep, 4,000's coming up, 4,000. It's like he's about to hit 4,000 threes, and right now he has an 876 three-point lead on number two, James Harden. So James ain't going to catch him.
He's the best, man.
Dame, it'd be hard-pressed for Dame to get there.
Dame's not going to do it.
Well, Steph's going to end up playing, I do think, a couple, two, three more years, and that's why I asked Steve Kerr about that, like, have you thought about, like, if Steph is going to stay, are you going to stay, Steve? Because it feels like you guys are kind of linked. Like, I mean, as a coach, you want to walk away from this?
I think he's given us and others the wink, wink, nod, nod on this a couple of times now. He's leaving. He's leaving when Steph leaves.
When he leaves?
Yeah.
He's not leaving before.
No, probably not.
I don't think so.
Probably not, but I don't know what that number of years are. But maybe it's not decided yet. But he's not going to do this forever.
Right, but I don't think that he's leaving before.
Probably not.
I don't know how Probably you not. Could or would.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why you would.
And I've heard Bob Fitzgerald kind of say the same thing about his gig. Like, you know, I'm going to be here as long as Steph's here, and then we'll figure it out from there. Honestly, if you're
he'd
doing...
He'll probably stay.
Maybe.
Bob will stay.
I mean... He doesn't have to.
No, Bob, he doesn't have to.
Bob does a lot of other things, and you can, you know, pick and choose your gigs and whatnot. But when you are a part of this, how could you possibly leave? Like, as a head coach, you're coaching Steph Curry, and the very idea of what he does, forget winning and losing, but to be able to coach that and watch that night in and night out, that's got to be damn awesome.
He tells us every time. He still loves what he does. Still having a great time. He's out at a dinner and a Broadway show tonight in New York City. And getting, what's he getting, $16 million a year?
Yeah, something like that.
Come on, man. What? To do what? Retire to do what?
Yeah.
How old is Steve? Not even an old man.
He's not even 60.
Yeah.
He's, I think, 59. He might be 60 because I think he was class of 82 in high school. So he's damn near 60, but... Yeah. 60's the new 50 now.
Right? Ask Steiny. He's in Cancun. Let's go to Rob in Richmond. Hey, Rob, what's up?
Hey, fellas. How you guys doing today?
We're good, man.
Yep.
Right on. Hey, so earlier, Willard, you were asking, you know, what is there something that could end up, you know, throwing this off the rails in a year and a half? And I don't think the answer is yes on that. And the reason why I don't believe that is because I think if they win championships and they stay healthy, I think, and also there's levels to organizations. This is as good as it gets. You know, the Warriors, shout out, knockout event. That was a beautiful, beautiful thing we did on Monday. It was great meeting you guys. But I think that if the Warriors stay healthy and they win championships, Jimmy Butler is not going to be a disgruntled Jimmy Butler. He's going to be a completely different Jimmy Butler that, you know, we've experienced in the past. I think that this is a whole nother thing. And I think that that's why the energy behind it is so different and the vibes are so good. By the way, that was a great interview you guys did with Steve Kerr, top notch. He does not get enough credit. It's just, you know, it's a beautiful thing to see, but at the end of the day, if they can stay healthy and they win championships, and when I say championships, I mean multiple, you're going to see a different Jimmy Butler come the end of an extension or whatever that looks like. It's just not going to look the same. The Warriors are different. Thank you, guys. You guys are great.
Rob, thank you. And while I'm not going to disagree with Rob, I think he sets the bar, quite frankly, too high. I think Jimmy can be happy without multiple championships. Like, to me, happiness for Jimmy Butler, and I don't know the man, but he got his extension. So check the box of I feel wanted and loved at work. So there's that, and everyone wants that. Then you need to enjoy the people you're working with. And at least in this honeymoon phase, he's got that. And then lastly, I think you want to feel like you've got a shot, a continued shot at success. I don't think that these players demand from themselves that they win the title every year. That's not realistic. They know that. There's a self-awareness. It's like when Giannis was asked if he was a failure because he got knocked out of the playoffs. He's like, I don't know if you've looked around. There's some other good players in the league too. You know, we don't just show up and roll the ball out there and win. So if the Warriors are continuing to win most of their games and they're having some success in the playoffs, if they fall a little short, I don't think you're going to get a disgruntled Jimmy Butler all of a sudden. He's got everything he asked for right now.
Yeah, which is money and talent around him.
And a shot.
And if this continues and you get a real shot to do it, then that's great. And it's an organization that supports its players. So that should be what Jimmy's looking for. I do wonder about when we get through next year and he's down to the final year of his deal, if at that point Steph has gotten an extension another year and Draymond's gotten a little taste a little bit more, does Jimmy then say, hey guys, this is going so good, where's my $62 million?
It going so good? It's probably the question.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, let's see how it's going.
Well, so far it's going pretty well.
It's going pretty good.
And if I'm Jimmy, I'm asking for an extension right now. 10-1 when I play?
He did ask for an extension.
Tack on an extra year.
And he got it.